I know those in the back, welcome back from California. Good to see you. But I think I heard Jim say you're from Hong Kong. Is that correct, Hong Kong? And who is the leader, may I ask? Is there one who is the representative? Yes? Okay. I just want to know who you are. So you're from a university? No. Please, tell me. High school, yes. Where?
In Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. What's the name of the school?
Our school is called Stewart
Phu Khe College.
Stewards.
And why are you in Japan?
Because they are going on a study tour, and this is one of our program itinerary.
The study tour. And the study tour was to come to a church in Japan.
Half of it,
to
experience culture here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Ah, okay. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at this church. Is this your first time in the church? Yes or no? No. So you go to church in Hong Kong? Yes? Okay. All right. Is my English okay? Can you understand? Okay. Good. All right. Well, I just want to welcome you. I'm so happy that you could be with us today. And I'm so happy that even though you come to Japan, where Christians are fewer than 2%, you could find a church and you could be with us to worship, to pray, and to hear God's message of love and hope today. So I praise God, and I'm so happy that you could be with us, and we welcome you to our family today. All right, so if you have a Bible, if you have a Bible app, or if you have the bulletin, please open it to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. And in your bulletin, it's there in the English, and of course, it's there in the Japanese on the inside. However, we're going to read from verse 13. So chapter 4, verse 13, which is in the middle there of the bulletin. And we're going to continue to chapter 5, verse 11. Okay? And in our church, it is our custom to read the scriptures out loud. So, don't be shy. Please feel free to read with me. I will begin at verse 13. Please join me at verse 16, and then we'll read together to the end. Let's read the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Let's read together. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. The very words of God. Amen? Our subject today is death, hope, and the day of the Lord. Last week, we talked about sex and work. And this week, we'll talk about death and hope. We're going through the book of Thessalonians this month. 1 Thessalonians. And today, we'll conclude our study in this book. I don't know if you have watched the news recently, but many in Japan are heartbroken because of a death of a woman, very beautiful, very kind, a loving mother of two children. She was 34 years old. Her name was Kobayashi Mao. And she was married for 10 years to a very famous Kabuki actor. His name was Ebizo. They have two small children. And about a year and a half, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And on Friday, she passed away after a long fight. And I had no idea, except my wife told me that this woman had passed away. I didn't really care about her too much. She was just one of those cute little announcers on TV, and they had a kind of celebrity marriage, you know. But I was studying our scripture this week about death and grieving and loss, and man, when my wife told me that she had died, it hit me. So I turned on the TV. There's her husband. He's got cameras all around. And he's explaining his last hour with her and what he was saying and what they were telling each other. And her last words to him were, "Aishiteru." Love you, right? It's very powerful. And he did something which was not common in the Japanese culture. but undeniable as a human being. He started crying. And he was surprised at him crying. He said, oh, nakune. And I thought, yeah, of course, you're crying. Because the love of your life has died. For you young people, I have bad news for you. There's going to be a lot of death in your future. Yeah. Amen. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. You can't deny it. There's death all around us, and there will be more death as you grow older. I have to tell you the bad news before I can tell you the good news. But as a Christian, the way that we look at death and the way that we experience death is much different from anybody else. And I want that to be something that you leave from here that gives you something more in your life than anything else. The Christian's way to deal with death is something that gives Christians change, hope, transformation. It affects you in such a way that it should change the world. There's one person who dealt with death so well and so perfectly. There's one example we have. His name is Jesus. And in John chapter 11, you see how he dealt with death. And it's different, very different from everybody else. So here is Jesus. He comes to a small town, Bethany, to his friend's house. And his friend Lazarus has died, John chapter 11. And you know what Jesus was doing? Two things. Jesus was shaking. He was angry. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he was still angry. So angry he was shaking. And then the next moment, he sees everybody else weeping. And he begins to weep and to grieve. Take a look at this verse here. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed. And then in verse 14, for we believe Jesus died and rose again. No. Go back to chapter 4. Verse 13. You do not grieve like the rest of mankind. Do you see that? The Bible says you don't grieve like everybody else. You grieve. We weep and we cry. But there's something different about our weeping. You see, Jesus was angry because he knows something all of us knows. And that is, death is not natural. Death was not the original plan. Death is an intruder to this world that he created, which was meant for life, for eternity, love that will last forever and ever. And here is death. And he's angry at death because of all the sorrow and pain that it brings. Not only is he angry, but he's weeping the sorrow. So please understand, there are some people who will tell you, maybe in this culture, maybe in your own culture, oh, don't cry. Don't cry. What good is crying? All the tears will not bring your son back to life. All your weeping will not raise your wife back to life. Just get on with it. Wipe your tears, wash your face, drink some water, and let's go. Forget the grieving. Just let it go. And it's what's even worse. Some people in church, oh, they'll say like this. It's okay, it's okay. He's with the Lord. He's in a better place. You don't have to cry. Someday you'll see him. It's okay. Just da-jo. And they don't. In the Bible, Job, he lost all his children. And he ripped his clothes apart, put ashes on his face, screaming, crying out to God, weeping, wailing. God made us emotional. We don't hold it down. So that's one way that people try to grieve, is they'll say, no, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to put it all down inside. You know what that does? That, you know what the result of that? The result is you don't become human. You try to make yourself less than what you have been made to be, which is a human being that knows death is not natural. But then there's the other side. The other side is you just get angry and you weep and you just let it fill you. And what happens is you let all out with no hope. And you think it's just going to be natural. You know, there's some people who say, you know, like the Lion King. Have you ever seen the Lion King? Some of you, you're still too young. But the older people, the Lion King. No? Okay, so there's the Lion King. The Lion King was an African story. And he would tell his lion son, who was the Lion Prince, all that you see is yours someday. And the son says, but Daddy, someday everybody dies. And the father says to the son, it's okay. When you die, you become the grass. And somebody eats the grass. And then that person gets eaten and they become bigger. And it's the circle of life. The circle of life. Right? Are you familiar? And so people say, that's, you know, death is just the circle of life. The circle of life. And you just let it go. And Jesus says, there's no circle of life. It's not how it works. You are not made to be dirt. You are not made to be grass. You are not like a tree. You are made in the image of the living God. And you were made to last in a body that will last forever. Not no circle of life. And so people think, I'm going to grieve, and I'm going to be angry. You can't do that. So there's the ones who will deny their grief, and then there's ones who will give it all in. Both ways are not the way that Bible teaches us to grieve. Here's what you do. You have both. The anger and the sorrow. But if you just stay with that, it's not enough. What you have is hope. And you take your hope and you rub it into the grief and you rub it into the anger. Just like salt. You remember salt? You would put it in meat so that the meat doesn't become bad and rotten and bitter. That's what you do with hope. You put it into your anger and your grief and you let that help you become wise and humble and loving and compassionate. That's how the hope transforms your grief. How? It gets real good from here. There's this thing that Christians believe, and we sang about it today, that we have no fear in death. Death is not something we fear. Why? Because fear has been defeated. Fear has been defeated. So, let me try to put it this way. And in another book called 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, he says, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory?" And the it's in English, but the original language was Greek. And there's no good translation, because if you translated it the right way, it would sound like this: "Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Na 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 na." Right? That's the attitude that the Christian has to death. That's what it is. Death. It's like this. Here's death, and he's having a conversation with the Christian. Here's death, and here's the Christian. And the Christian says, "Death, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not. You think you can kill me. I have victory over you through Jesus." And death says, you stupid being. "I'm going to kill you so bad. Have you not read? I killed you and I'm going to kill your king." And the Christian says, "Death, look, you cursed my king. That just went right back on you and he ended up cursing you." And death says, "Christian, please. These arms, they're going to swallow you someday. This hand is going to crush you, Christian." And the Christian says, "Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Do your worst. Because the further down you bury me, the further up you're going to have to raise me. The more you try to diminish me, the more you're going to end up raising me up. The more you try to put me away, the longer you're going to have to live with me." That's what the Christian says to death. Amen? There is a preacher named D.L. Moody in America a long time ago, and he was going to die. And he told his friends, "Very soon, you're going to start hearing, 'D.L. Moody is dead. D.L. Moody has died. He's passed away.'" And he says, "Don't you even believe that. Because D.L. Moody is in a better situation. He is more alive than he has ever been." That's your hope. C.S. Lewis, another great guy, he says, as a Christian, this is what, if you let God do this, he is going to make you something so beautiful, so dazzling, so magnificent, so awesome, so wonderful, so life-giving, and so full of joy and power and hope and peace. You're going to reflect like a mirror, stainless, all of the glory that you have been meant, that you have been made for. Why? Because death has been defeated. Amen, somebody. That is our hope as a Christian. Ah, Pastor Chris, that's very nice, very nice. Yeah. Someday we'll die, and then when I die, my spirit will go into heaven. That's nice. Right? That's what you mean. My spirit, my body will be here, but my spirit will be with Jesus in heaven. No, 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 no. I know it sounds like that with what we just read. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's be very clear. If it's just your spirit going to heaven, death has not been defeated. Death has taken your body and still winning. So what is it saying? Let's do some teaching. Please go back to the passage. It says there, 14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep," those who have died. Verse 15, "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first." Will rise first. "After that, We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. I want you to notice the words. We will be together, together with the Lord. Together, all of that language there. We will be together. What's he talking about? There's a word there, it says caught up. Caught up. And then there's another word called the Lord's appearing. Appearing, parousia, very famous word in Greek. Let me teach you just for a moment. In the first century, when a king would go off and leave the city, he would go off and he'd fight in the war. And then he would win the war. And the victory and the splendor and all the spoils, he would come back. And he would take them all back to his city. And here's the city waiting for their king. And when they hear the news, we've won the war. Our king has won the victory, okay? They're waiting for the king to come back. And then they see the flags. And then the flags get closer, and then they see the horses and the people. And so here's what happens. A group of people in the city will go out and meet the king and the army and all his people. And they would be dancing and singing and shouting and rejoicing. You know what they do? They don't stay out there. They come back into the city. That's the parousia. That's the appearing. That's the return. And so those who were left to go out first, those are the ones who were caught up. That's the image that we have here. So let's get this image. Those Christians who have already passed away, who've already died, when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back and he's not going to say, okay, I'm going to take you now to heaven, all of your spirits, all of you to be with. No, 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 no. The emphasis is all on Jesus coming back to be with us in body, here on earth, in the new heaven, in the new earth. When I was maybe 10 or 11 years old, I remember I was at a babysitter's house, and it was me and a bunch of other children. We were sitting there playing, and this is maybe 30 years ago, and we were just playing, and for some reason, the topic of death came about. I don't know what. And somebody said, one of these days, your Lola is going to die. Lola, in Filipino, means grandmother, obachang. I was 10 years old. I'll never forget. I'm sitting there in my babysitter's house, and it dawned on me that my Lola was going to leave me someday. I love my Lola. Love her. She was like a mother to me. Her voice, the way she would rub my head when I took a nap, the food that she would make, that old Lola smell that she had, right? All of it. Just, I still remember it. And it hit me that someday I'm going to say goodbye to her. And I remember in that house, I just started crying. Just started crying. And nobody would try to help me or anything. I had no idea. I was just sitting there, Lola, right? She was still alive at that time. But at that moment, you know, just a 10-year-old boy crying over his grandmother who's still alive. But some, well, okay. So I'm reading our passage today. And I'm thinking about my Lola. My Lolo, grandfather, one of these days, we're going to be together. Together. Forever. No goodbyes. No more separation. No more loneliness and weeping. Every tear will be wiped away because of the coming of Jesus Christ to bring us all together again. I cannot wait for that day to come. That is going to be a wonderful day, because that is the day I know in my heart, and you know it as well, that's what we're made for as human beings. We're not made to live on the moon. We're not made to live on Mars. We're not made to live in heaven. We're made to live on this earth. And because of our sin, our rebellion, our whole pride and selfish ambition, we made this world unlivable. We broke this world. But because of God's great love, and God is the gospel, the message of his great love, he said, no. I'm not going to leave it broke. I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to let you live in it once more. Not only you with your loved ones, I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new soul, but I'm going to give you new hands. I'm going to give you new legs. I'm going to give you a new neck, new shoulder, new back. Hallelujah. I'm going to be made new again. I'm preaching the best I can. I hope you're getting this. I can't wait. That's the parousia. And then he says, it's not only that I've defeated death, and it's not only that your future is going to be with me together. You see, the future that we have as Christians is a future of love, complete love, a universe full of love. What am I talking about? It's okay. For people to like you, but for people can like you, but they can still not know you. And that's very empty. That's the Facebook like. Right? You have all these friends on Facebook, and you put something nice, and they like it, but they don't know you. That's nice, but it's not, right? The other way is, people know you, but when they really know you, do they really like you? My wife, she knows me, okay? But man, every day we can't talk about the way we really feel about each other. Every day, right? We gotta go? Okay? Sayonara. All right. Shay Shay. Okay, go ahead, please. No, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to be lonely without you, but someday we'll meet again. Right? Go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. Sayonara. Lord, send them back as missionaries. Amen. Let them be worshipers, leaders, pastors, evangelists. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, it's just us now. All right. So, my wife, she knows me. Yeah, well, you know, it's okay. Praise the Lord for his timing. So, where was I? Yeah, okay. So, people can like you, but they don't know you. That's empty. But people can know you, but it's hard for people to like you when they really know you. Okay, did we get that? We got that. All right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come back and we're going to be together with him. That day is the day when he will know us to the very bottom, and he will still love us to the very top. Why? Because we will be transformed. We'll be changed. We'll be lovable. And we'll be knowable. There's parts of people that I know is good. There's parts of people that I know I want to love and I want to say yes. But then there's so much goop, so much sin, so much unattractiveness, so much hate, so much tension, so many words, and so much of the past, I can't love them. But that day when Jesus says, I'm back, is the day where I get to see you and you, and I'm going to know you and still love you, because you will have become everything that God has meant for you to be. That is going to be an awesome day. That is our hope as a Christian. Why? Because death has been defeated. Hallelujah. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Now, when is that going to happen? Chapter 5, verse 1. Who cares? Right? Paul says, "Don't." If somebody tells you, you know, you read the books and you see, you know, it happens every 50, 60 years or so. This day, this time, and this group, this mountain. Shut up. That's what the Bible says. Shut up. It's going to come like when a woman gives birth. It's going to come. But it's not like the doctors say that you have a yotebi. The yotebi is the day it's supposed to come. It never comes on the yotebi. It comes before or after. Right? Well, okay, maybe you're a miracle. All right. Nine out of ten, it doesn't come on the yotebi. So, with this truth and with this hope, how do we live? How do we live? That was chapter 5. Actually, chapter 4 at the very last verse. It says, comfort each other with this truth. Right? So my comfort is, I can't wait to see my Lola once more. To hear her sing with her new voice. To meet my Lolo once more. I don't know if he'll still have the tattoo he has, but I'm going to meet him. And he's going to hold me and maybe pick me up. I can't wait. So I'm comforted by that. But then goes on in chapter 5. It says, there's a way you live now that's so different. There's a way that you live that's like as if you're living in the daytime. Here's what I mean. Nahomi and I, my wife, we have a system for when I come home. Before I go home, I call her. But she doesn't pick up. She just looks on her phone. It's Chris. And I hung up. Or we don't even answer. That's to let her know Daddy's coming home. So boys, clean this mess up right now. Because Daddy doesn't like opening the door and he can't walk from the genkan to the kitchen without whatever. Clean it up. Clean it up. Right? Oh, and then when Nahomi's really got her things together and everything's set, dinner's ready. Right? And it's like, all right, you ready to eat? Oh, am I ready to eat? Right? Because Daddy's coming home. You don't know when, but you know he's coming now. He's going to come. So let's get ready. So we live as children of the light, getting ready. There's things we don't do. And there's things that we do because he's coming back. He also says it's like like a woman ready to give birth. Okay, we know, for some of you, you know what that means when you're going to give birth, right? We've had it four times in our marriage. And what happens is, you have the yotebi, but, you know, you have these months, and all through these months, it gets closer and closer, and you're getting diapers, you're getting the baby bath, you're getting the car seat, you're getting, you know, all the stuff you need. You're getting ready. You're getting ready. Oh God, come soon. Come today if you can. But if you don't come, let me be ready. Let me get this. And it's not because, this is the great part, this is the gospel. Jesus is going to get me ready so that when he comes, I will be ready. So there's both him and me getting it done. I shared with Margaret last week, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to bring it to completion on the day he returns. Amen. He's doing it in me. So I'm going to say, Lord, do what you got to do in me to get me ready. And there's a great thing at the end where we read, verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Oh, I love that verse. I marked that one. That's my life verse for today. He died for me so that I can live together with him. I have to preach it, so let me do this. The day of the Lord. There is a coming wrath. In fact, the book of 1 Thessalonians, in every single chapter, if you read it, at every single chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, it talks about God's wrath, God's judgment, but it also talks about God's salvation from that wrath, God's rescue, and how that salvation is accomplished. I just read it for you. What am I talking about? It's the day of the Lord. See, everybody here knows, everybody out there knows also, there is coming a day. And you can see it in the movies. You could see it in the TV shows. And you could see the fear. Someday, some comet or meteor is going to crash into Earth. Someday, some virus is going to wipe out humankind. If it doesn't, the virus is going to turn all of us into zombies. The zombie apocalypse. Someday, the volcanoes will all erupt. Someday, the earthquake will put us all underwater. Someday, the sun is going to explode or the sun is going to melt. One of those days. Someday, the earth is going to be so hot or it's going to come back to the ice age. Someday, there's a day, right? The day of judgment is coming. That's what they think. The day of the Lord. It's actually started in Genesis. There was a king named Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10. He had a city named Babel. And in that city, he said, I'm going to be king. Who cares about this God? God told us to spread out over the whole earth. No, we're going to stay right here and build our city to the sky. And we're going to be the Lord of our own life. That's Babel. Later, it's called Babylon. And there was one day when God said, look, you're killing yourselves. I'm going to put an end to this and get you out of here. One way or another. And so Babel was this city where man thought, I'm going to be the ruler. And it goes on. That was the first day. And then the new Babylon was Egypt. And God's people were in Egypt. And they were oppressed. And they were enslaved. And one day, God led them out into freedom. And took his people. And the moment they got across the sea into their freedom, they called that the day the Lord saved his people. That was the day of the Lord. But here's what happened. They go into their new land, Canaan, and they begin to grow, and they have kings, and they have cities, and they have a nation. They forget God who saved them. And they start oppressing other people. And they let the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the people were crying out. And so the prophets said, Jerusalem, you are just like Egypt. Jerusalem, you are just like Babylon. Jerusalem, the day of the Lord is going to happen on you. And that's exactly what happened. Assyria came down. The Persians came down. Babylon came down. And then, now they're out in Babylon, and the prophets are saying, God, come back to us. Rescue us. Give us the day of the Lord when you are going to judge them. You are going to defeat them. You are going to free us and save us. So Jesus comes. And he says, I'm going to bring the day of the Lord. And you know what that day was? It was on a Friday in the morning. He hung on the cross. And the day of the Lord happened to him. He took all of the judgment, all of the wrath, all of the pain. And he said, this is the day of the Lord. This is the day when all of the sin, all of the spiritual filth that everybody has ever done, I'm going to take this. And that was the great day of the Lord. That's when death was defeated. But then it goes on. He says, look, I took this for you, but one day I'm going to come back. And it's going to be all fixed. And that's what we were talking about today. That's the great day of the Lord. We're looking forward to it. That's our great hope. All of the judgment, all of the wrath, all of the sin will be dealt with. Now, let me close with this. I know it's been long. For many people, the day of the Lord is wrath and judgment and death. And that's what all the movies, all of the TV shows, all of these pop culture and video games, that's what that is. Because we all know that's what happens. But the Bible says, in Christ, when Jesus comes, we are saved from the wrath of God. Because in Jesus Christ, he died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. The day is coming when you will be reunited. I know some of us, we're living right now with separation. But one day we will be together. Many of us here are living with grief and death. But you can be comforted that Jesus has overcome death. There's no sting and there's no victory. A father was driving home from a funeral with his two children. Their mother had just died. And the little boy, he's saying, Daddy, is mommy going to be okay? And the daddy, he's driving and he sees a truck. Whum! Drives by. And he says, boy, is it better to be hit by that truck or by the shadow of that truck? And the little boy says, the shadow. And this is a true story. Peter Barnhouse, Philadelphia. The father says, son, Jesus was hit by the truck of death so that your mother could only be hit by the shadow of death. She's going to be fine. And one day, we'll be together with her. Be comforted. Have hope. You don't grieve like everybody else. You have joy, and you take that hope and you rub it into that grief and become wise, compassionate, humble, and follow Jesus to the very end. Let's go to him right now in prayer. Lord, you're going to wipe away every tear. And I know that's a cliche, but that is a truth that makes me weep. Lord, there will be a song that I sing that will go on to eternity. I'm going to sing it together with my Lola and my Lolo. I can't wait. I'm going to sing it forever. Lord, for those with grief and pain, bring comfort, I pray. For those with weakness and failure, I pray you bring strength and hope. And Father, I pray for those whose eyes have been darkened and dimmed by sin and rebellion. I pray you'd bring light through conviction and confession. And I pray you bring change through the repentance that you allow us to have. Lord, I pray for those high schoolers who are in this room a few minutes ago. Lord, I pray the gospel will be in them, and that they will take it back to this country as missionaries, as pastors, as evangelists, as preachers. I pray you raise up the next generation with the hope of Jesus Christ to bring to this country, this city, this place, Lord, out of the shadow of the darkness of death, Lord, let your light shine through. For this is our hope and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.